moment of your life, man, and you're off somewhere miserable.
I am not.
Shut up. Our fathers were our models for God. If our fathers bailed, what does that tell you about God?
No, I don't.
Listen to me. You have to consider the possibility that God does not like you. He never wanted you. In all probability, he hates you. This is not the worst thing that can happen.
It isn't?
We don't need him.
We don't agree.
Fuck damnation, man. Fuck redemption. We are God's unwanted children. So be it.
Okay, so
listen, you can run water over your hand to make it worse, or look at me. Or you can use vinegar to neutralize the burn.
Please let me have it, please.
First, you have to give up. First, you have to know, not fear, know that someday you're gonna die.
You don't know how this feels.
It's only after we've lost everything that we're free to do anything.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is Damien.
Do you know what's funny? I actually just almost said this is Damien. Why? It's not even like I was trying to be funny. I just seriously, for no reason, almost said that this is Damien.
Be honest, Douglas. You just knew Damien wasn't going to say anything and you felt you had to do it for him.
I suppose.
So it's been a month since we've recorded. What have you guys been doing with your time?
I've been working. Yeah, I gotta see me my job, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Our lives hasn't changed at all. One of us, though, did move to another country.
Yes, I am in Trinidad, and we finally have to do this show completely virtual.
For forcing us to actually wear headphones for every podcast hereafter.
I'm sorry to put such a burden on your ears.
You should be.
Listen, if I'm going to be wearing a headphone, it means that we should be having a guest. None of this foolishness.
It's okay. You're not a guest.
Do I count as a guest now? Is this how
wait, no. Did you not just hear Damien? Damien just said, you're not a guest.
Oh. Okay. Anyways, I guess we should just get back into it and start off with what we've been watching. Damien, what have you been watching?
Why Damien first? You're the one who is in a new country. You should go first. Andrew, what have you been watching?
Seriously? Okay.
Yes. I'm starting it off right.
I've seen a ton of stuff since I've been here, but the highlights. I got to watch Lion King 3D. It's been the first time that I've actually sat down to watch The Lion King in must be over a decade, because The Lion King was Douglas and my youngest brother's favorite film of all time when he was a child, and it got to the point where I had to sit down and watch
it. Hold
on,
stop for one second. Andrew, you have a youngest brother?
Yes.
Younger, okay?
He has a youngest brother.
He's the youngest of all of my brothers.
I thought you only had one younger brother.
But he's still the youngest of all of my brothers.
I suppose it makes sense in Andrew's head. Continue, sir.
Right, it was his
and
favorite movie
his
of all time.
Brother.
And I ended up watching that movie to the point where I could recite it. So I just kind of scrapped it from watching it ever again. And now it came out to theaters in 3D, and I said, you know what, let me go and watch it. And the movie continues to be fantastic. The 3D conversion actually was good. They apparently spent 9 months working on this conversion, and it's brilliant. Mufasa made me cry around 5 times in this movie.
I'm sorry, they spent 9 months on the conversion. Is that long? Because I would
it's
hope
in comparison
I would
to
hope
other film productions where they spend like around 4 months, I believe.
Oh, okay. Because the way you were saying it was like, you know, compared to say Thor when they spend a week or a half a day, and I'm like, really, would they spend like a little time?
Did they flip a switch?
I'm pretty sure that's something that would take very long, you know?
Yeah. We'd hope.
I don't know. As far as I know, this is one of the longer production times that I've spent on conversion.
wasn't necessary, but I'm glad they did it.
Yeah.
Oh, have you seen it?
No.
Apparently it comes out here in like this next week.
Probably won't be a 5 o'clock show.
Also, I got to watch 50-50 yesterday, and the new movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen and Anna Kendrick. And the movie is good but not great, and that's its main problem. You know, you go into those movies and you watch them and you're like, I see how it's good. You know, everyone acts well, all of it works out, and at points it's emotional and works, but I'm not going to have this on my top 10 at the end of the year. Like, you sometimes when you leave a theater, you just know that this movie was fantastic and it might end up in your top 10. Sometimes you leave and you're like, this movie shouldn't be in my top 10, but it's good. And that was 50-50. The only thing that I'd say really poor about it was the Anna Kendrick storyline was rushed, but otherwise it's a good movie. I also got to see The Help this weekend. And yes, it's another movie set in the 60s, I believe, or is it the 50s, where before the civil rights movement, and they're talking about all the black maids in all the white homes, and it's about this one girl getting together to interview all of these maids and talk about their experiences in these white homes dealing with the oppression and the segregation and everything that was wrong, but whatever. And it actually surprised me, because while all that heavy-handed racial stuff that we hate to see in a lot of movies, forced in movies, because we all know about the civil rights movement and we've seen it in so many movies about how life was before that, sometimes movies can use that as a crutch and it just hobbles along. But in this movie, I guess the fact that we were dealing with a whole new side of it, with these women who are in these homes and love these children, and these children love them back, and then they get treated like this through the family, and eventually the children grow up and start to treat them just the same, as opposed to loving their maid and treating them as a person, as opposed to what they're really,
really people.
What was that?
That's been true in my experience.
Yeah, that's true.
It overall surprised me, and Viola Davis was fantastic, as she usually is in these kinds of movies. So it's worth a watch, I think, if you have a chance to see it. Also, I just want to say I've been rewatching Lord of the Rings this week. I got the Blu-ray extended set.
Yes, Nicholas was telling me he was fairly upset.
And these movies continue to be fantastic.
By the way, doesn't this Blu-ray like not include any extras at all or something like that?
No, it has the full appendices.
Oh yeah,
with them.
What was all of the
first one? They put out
a special one. No,
they put out the proper ones.
How much does that cost? Like a gajillion dollars? Jeez,
it's not that expensive for three.
No, yeah, that's true. So three movies plus like a shitload of yeah, that's right.
Extras and everything. It's a relatively good price box set. And the only thing I have to say now is rewatching this movie after, I don't know, must be 4 years since I've last saw the extended editions, I can say without a doubt that my favorite of the three is Fellowship of the Ring.
Your first one? Wow.
Yeah, the first one. It's the best use of the characters, the best CG out of all of the movies. It has the most character-based understanding of the films, and it's the setup for this fantastical world, so everything is fresh. Whenever right. When you move on, they do some interesting things with new characters, like in the Two Towers with Faramir and his relationship with Boromir, and all of the Gondor stuff is really good. And right now I'm halfway through Return of the King.
wait, hold on. First, I just wanted to point out that Damien clearly does not agree with you, and unfortunately we no longer have this thing where you can see him like directly laughing at you and giving you crazy faces and wagging his finger like, oh no, you did not. But before Damien continues, I just want to make a point. I just want to actually ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Based on what you just said a while ago, are you really telling me that you know that the best movie out of the three is the first movie without actually rewatching all three movies. Is that what you just said to me?
That's what he's telling you, yeah.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Now that I have kind of gotten the answer to what I was thinking about, I think Damien has a few choice words for you.
No, he's wrong. He's been wrong before.
Podcast was recorded in another 2 hours, I would have finished the movie.
The first movie has the least action, so you're wrong.
I remember I love... I think I've actually only watched Extended Edition one time. I bought the big DVD set and, you know, I brought it out and it's quite a chore to watch it, so I haven't really watched it since. And I remember loving probably... I know this is a stupid reason to love it, right? But you know me, right? Soundtracks, Zoe Deschanel, foolishness. Anyway, so the last movie, Return of the King, I think it was that one. There's a scene cutting that wasn't in the theatrical where they're like all in front of
negotiation.
Exactly, yeah, they're all in front of Mordor and this like freaky ass guy comes out with his huge mouth,
right.
And I don't know why, but I just thought he looked really, really cool, and that's probably I like that one more than the others just for that.
That is a really good moment. However, when I think about it, I think the moment out of the entire trilogy, and I don't know why this is the moment that I pick that sticks with me, that I close my eyes and I see this, mainly because it kind of frightens me sometimes, is in The Fellowship, which is when they're in Rivendell and Frodo meets Bilbo again, and Bilbo sees the ring for the first time since he's left the Shire. His face changes like when he's reaching for the ring. Like, he has this freaky face on him. And that, whenever I see that, it's like one of the most frightening images that I've seen in films that isn't a horror movie. And it just sticks with me. And that's like one of my favorite moments out of the trilogy. And then, of course, there's You Will Not Pass, and that's brilliant.
Yeah, no, that's an
Shall
iconic...
Shall Not Pass. It's right. So.
Yeah, and that's basically what I've been watching.
So, Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I could list a lot of other things that I've watched since we last recorded, but that would take me for a really long time.
That's true still. I hear you. So, Damien.
Okay.
How's it going?
Since we're going to have a TV section later... The first movie that I'll say I saw was Melancholia, but we're reviewing that next week, so
okay,
I'm not
cool.
saying anything else about
up to
it.
Now, I have it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Except if you like his last movie, probably going to enjoy this one.
Alright, good to know.
How about if you didn't like his last movie?
I don't consider you a person, and your opinion doesn't matter anyway. I saw Transformers.
I sat through that too.
Is that the name of it?
Yes, Dark of the Moon. I always thought it was Dark Side of the Moon.
Me too.
And this movie, like Fast Five, is profoundly stupid while being enjoyable.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, they are...
And I just want to butt in here because this is actually also a movie that I watched over the period.
Right.
And I was going to tell you it was in that whole bad section because it's a bad movie, but
it's
pretty.
Right.
It's fun at times.
And there is never more than 5 minutes or so without Transformers on the screen, which is the first time he's done that. Most of this movie is Transformers. Yes, Shia LaBeouf and whatever the hell that...
Yo, I did not like that girl. What's wrong with her?
I didn't like her the accent.
Something's wrong with her mouth.
I think she's a massive improvement from Megan Fox.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Megan Fox wasn't that great, but...
Yeah.
They went down.
Right.
Definitely.
So, the action... There are some action scenes in this movie that are spectacular. The base jumping... out of that plane into the city was amazing. A lot of the fights between Transformers, but the story is god awful. It's really stupid. But enough shit blows up that you kind of he kind of looked past it. What I find the most remarkable is I don't remember. I saw this movie not 3-4 days ago, and I do not remember how the movie started. I remember the whole space race thing, and I remember the last fight scenes, and that is all I remember. I do not remember anything else. It's pretty bad. I also saw Drive, which...
Oh, I'm so going to watch that very soon.
Sweet Jesus, this movie is amazing.
Next week here, I'm going to go and watch it.
It is amazing. I know none of you guys have seen the Pusher trilogy.
I haven't watched.
Because you're crazy
watched.
People. But Refn gets... He's now really up there in terms of directors that I love. He's encroaching on Nolan space, is what he's doing.
Wow.
Drive is...
I can't remember if we talked about this. Have you seen Valhalla Rising?
Yes.
Where does that rank in your reference?
It's pretty bad.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because I've only seen like 15 minutes of it and right. I struggled.
It's way at the bottom.
Wait, Refn did that one too?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a terrible movie. It's just not very good.
I lost Damien for a second, or he was just quiet.
No.
You see, this is why we record over here as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So none of this happens. Right, so Drive, we all saw the trailer. If you saw the trailer, you pretty much know what's going to happen. But it is so well acted and so well directed. And some of the flourishes that he does in this movie, it's worth it just for those shots, for certain shots alone. It's really good. I mean, there's people who... on the internet that don't like the movie, but it's the internet. That's how it works. But they're wrong. And I don't see anyone watching this movie and not liking it. Unless, of course, you have the attention span of a flea. Because this movie is not fast-paced in any way, shape, or form. That's pretty much it for movies. I finished watching Tremé. And... it's still awesome. There's not a lot of people watching it though, so I'm pretty sure it might be the end of
it. HBO has purposely pushed forward with another season, but I think if that one doesn't hit, they're going to give up at that point.
Okay.
Because they're giving David Simon leeway, basically. They're like, you gave us the Wire, go right ahead.
Right.
But honestly, maybe it's because I had trouble. I think the John Cena character was really stupid. Like, season 2 for me kind of dipped a little bit.
No, not for me. I still enjoyed it as much as the first season. And so, I can't wait. Hopefully there's more. I know there's not a lot of people watching it. I've never heard anybody outside of this room mention Tremé. So, I know it's only a matter of time. But while it's still on, it's awesome. I started watching Chicago Code, a series that was promptly cancelled. So I knew I should probably watch this because it's going to be good. And it's really good. It's also very cancelled.
I know, I'm so upset about that one. That show was so great.
And so we'll add this to the Terriers pile.
Yes.
of great things that are cancelled.
Alright, so I've watched a bunch of movies actually. Andrew, you'll be proud. My list actually takes up almost a whole phone screen.
So the question is the list like that because it's been a month?
Yes.
Probably.
Yes.
So how much of that list was like last week?
Let me go through.
One.
Okay. Hold on. Thank no, that's not true. 1, 2, 3... Was this last week? I just can't count this as last week, so that's 4. I'd say 4 movies.
Yeah, that's good.
Alright, anyway. So let's just start off with the bad movies. I watched, as I said, Transformers 3, even though I kind of liked it. I watched Green Lantern, that was horrible. Yes. I watched The Expendables, That was kind of sort of enjoyable, but still more on the bad side than enjoyable.
That was an awesome bad movie.
I've seen a part of this beginning when Jet Li kicks what's his name in the face, but that's it's really bad.
Damien, go to YouTube and look for the Jet Li versus Dolph Lundgren fight.
Whatever, dude.
Dog, I don't really want to see them.
Yeah, no, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't watch that movie again.
It's sad.
Barely okay. I really didn't. Whatever.
It's like Killer Elite.
So probably the worst movie that I watched this week was Griff the Invisible, or this period was Griff the Invisible, starring one Jason Stackhouse.
And I haven't watched that yet.
That movie was stupid. I love the poster. I love the
trailer.
Yeah, the concept looked great, but then, well, then again, I don't know. I shouldn't say I love the trailer because I never watched it.
Okay.
But I didn't realize what this movie was going to be about.
Ah.
Right. This movie clearly was more along the lines of Special.
And less Defendor.
Exactly. I thought it was going to be more like Defendor. So. You really find out that he's just special. And
he's just special.
This movie is bad. There's no ifs or buts about it. Anyway, moving on, the mediocre movies I saw were Colombiana, Attack the Block. Shh, don't ask me why I watch Colombiana.
Okay.
I watch Colombiana.
That movie was kind of whatever.
You thought Attack the Block was mediocre?
Yeah. Okay. It was, I guess, high mediocre, but still mediocre.
Okay.
When I watched Attack of Block, it felt like one of those movies that will grow on me as I watched it again.
That's true. It could. That's really a fair statement.
But it really didn't hit the high that everyone has been putting it on.
Yeah. Now for the really good movies. I watched Skateland, and I really liked that one. That was probably it was, you know, one of those regular coming of ages type of movies, and of course it had a great soundtrack. An extremely indie trailer. Really good.
Are you sure it's good?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. I watched Everything Must Go, and it's probably on the lower end of good, but it's still a good movie.
Yeah,
and it was, you know.
Will Ferrell did a pretty good job.
Yeah. I watched The Guard. And that movie. I don't know how to describe this movie, because
you hate Don Cheadle.
I do hate Don Cheadle, but this movie, it didn't hit me the way I thought it was going to hit me, but it's still good. It's just not, it wasn't laugh out loud funny, but I guess I really wasn't expecting that, because looking at the trailer, come on. But there's still something odd about that movie. I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on it, but you know. Other than that, I watched Horrible Bosses, which was kind of funny, thanks to Charlie Day. Love Charlie Day. And
hey, come on, you know Colin Farrell was the main thing in that movie.
Whatever, yo. True Adolescence was really good. That one has Mark Duplass and a bunch of youngsters. It's a movie about Mark Duplass, who is, I guess, a failing musician. And he gets kicked out of his house, has to live with, I don't know exactly what she is, whether she's a sister or a very good friend or whatnot. Who has two children, and the real movie is about him and those children bonding on a camping trip. And it's a really, really good movie. I like Mark Duplass. I like his movies that I've seen that he's directed, and I love his television show. It's great. The League, watch it when season 3 starts. And probably the movie that I gained the most enjoyment out of, and I know people are going to look at me and say, but that was just a stupid movie. It was great. This thing named Crazy Stupid Love. That movie was fantastic.
I love that.
A lot of people enjoyed that movie.
I mean, I'm so happy to finally be able to say that I've watched a good Steve Carell movie, because there are so few and far between. I don't understand how somebody so funny and so able to play this.
You didn't like Evan Almighty?
Shut up.
You're a bad
I did, however, like Bruce Almighty, but I don't think you can really count that as a Steve Carell movie. And that was a time long ago when I liked bad movies. But yeah, he can play this sweet, hurt, kind of vulnerable person so well, and he can go the other extreme and play like extremely funny, and I don't know how he can't get those to work in his movies, because he it's not like he's not a leading man. He's done a lot of movies where he's the lead, and most of them are bad.
I like that shot, even though it was in the trailer, when he's like, if you don't stop talking, I'm going to jump out of the car. He just opens the door.
He just goes.
Yep, I've been there.
You've seen this movie already, right, Damien?
Yes.
But for me, my favorite moment is when Kevin Bacon comes in the garden.
Oh, and Kevin Bacon is great.
Look, I don't feel it is fair to talk about Jorge. Because I might be biased. I might be a little biased towards Kevin Bacon.
I'm sorry.
Honestly, watching that movie, Kevin Bacon if he is the only person who you could take out of that movie completely.
Oh, dear.
No, like, what?
Oh, no.
I'm not letting you talk.
Do not entertain us. Absolutely.
You can keep the fact that there is this person that the wife was seeing, but you don't ever really need to see him in that movie.
Shut up.
Don't you,
I like to be entertained, okay? But anyway, can I tell you that when it got to that last scene, the same one we're talking about where Kevin Bacon comes in, for some reason, I actually could not see that like a twist at the end.
Oh, it was so brilliant.
It was great. And
disappointing.
No, man. I'm sure it was so obvious, but I guess I was just having so much fun and joy in the movie that I didn't really care.
That's okay.
You know?
That's good.
This was just an overall great movie. It's fantastic.
Speaking of overall great movies, guys, I need to give somebody Meek's cutoff so that I can stop watching it.
You can mail it to me, please.
It's terrific. Holy.
I've been watching X-Men First Class on a loop.
God, Meek's cutoff is amazing. People should, everybody who listens to this, go buy Meek's cutoff. Even if you don't think you like it, just go buy it. Please. It's so amazing. Plus, the director needs more money because they make small movies that very few people see. I want them to get a big movie. Something that everyone will see that I can point to and go,
that maybe awesome. She'll end up doing Transformers 4.
Don't do that. Andrew, that's not funny.
They'll bring in water Transformers and it'll be out in the sea.
At least you tell a goddamn story. What happened in Transformers 3? They're teleporting their home planet and then...
By the way, I don't understand. How would you do that? How would you teleport your home planet?
Look. With every subsequent Transformers movie, the logic that they built it on makes less and less sense. The first one, they flew from space.
Let's not talk about this. I know you're going to talk about this overheating and underheating business.
The third one, there is when they failed to teleport the planet, it generated a black hole. And Earth was not affected.
No, but you know what I think was even better than that? So you remember the first time, they tried to transport it twice, correct?
Right.
And the first time, like, a piece of it got transported, mm-hmm. and then when the transporter was turned off, mm-hmm. the planet actually cut itself in, like, two. There was right. one, like, a piece by Earth, mm-hmm. and one big piece wherever the hell right. it is, right? So why is it that didn't have a black hole? And when it did, when, they turned on the transporter again. What happened was, apparently the planet just synced itself back together. Just, yeah. And so it's not even like an extra piece was just behind it. It just connected again.
No, download man.
Yeah, okay. Alright. I don't understand how when you sever a planet, you sever a piece of a planet, it just reconnects. It's like, you know, connective tissue. What? No, I don't get it.
I like how the Transformers allowed one whole... The Autobots allowed one city of people to die to prove a point.
You need us, bitches. Don't exile us again.
What are you guys doing? This movie is so stupid. But that worm Transformer thing...
Yeah, that was kind of cool. Oh, listen, sweet. That movie was so pretty.
Oh my God.
And I loved... Michael Bay did something great in this movie. He really melded the clean and extremely pretty look of the Transformers with the sort of gritty and real look of like a battlefield in that whole Chicago scene.
To be fair though, ILM.
Alright, yeah.
What Michael Bay did was he took a camera, ran it through a dirty city, and sent it to ILM and said, go.
ILM. Work.
I'm like sure there was
sleeves.
Some sort of talk, you know.
They work like slaves for like the next 2 years. I just want to see that rendering farm. Computers lit on fire rendering Transformers on the screen.
Oh, I'm sorry, I sat through that movie and I was completely numb. At one point I eventually went, you know what, this is a Saturday morning cartoon, I'm done.
Did you see shit transforming and beating up other shit? Did you see that part?
Did you see John Malkovich?
Yes.
I didn't see
Ken Jeong.
Yeah, but again, people were on the screen for no more than 5 minutes.
I didn't like anybody in that, and I liked him in everything. No, man.
I didn't like anybody that was a human being in that show. It was bad.
And John Turturro continued to be stupid.
Oh yeah. My god. It's terrible. It's a terrible movie. But it's fun.
It's where good actors go to die.
No, not really. Some of those actors aren't good.
Yeah.
Some of them are like Francis Dormer.
Faith in Shia, but never quite worked out for him.
I like Holes.
I like Disturbio.
Not really.
You didn't like it at all? I mean,
no,
I know that
there
are certain of us that for some reason seem to think it's better than Rare Window.
Right.
But I actually really like that movie. I enjoyed Disturbio. I actually own that movie.
Maybe it's Andrew's nonsense that has clouded my judgment of that movie. But I think where I started to hate him was the fourth indie movie. This is how bad.
Oh, indie as in Indiana Jones. Sorry,
this is how bad Indiana Jones 4 is. No one remembers that movie. That movie made like $500 million, and no one remembers that movie. Oh my god.
But you know what's so funny is that I actually really enjoyed the first half of that movie. I thought it was great up until and actually including when they
went to South America.
What?
When they went to South America, that's when the movie started.
No. I think the last scene that was really good, that was still really Indiana Jones and fun, was when and Damon's going to tell me to suck it, but when they nuclear blasted him in the fridge.
Yeah.
I think that was great.
Hilarious.
And then right as that finished, it was like, alright, we're tired now, we don't really want to make another good movie, let's just finish.
I remember liking the sequence when him and Shia LaBeouf are going through the city on the bike or something.
Oh yeah, that's before that,
the light and stuff.
Yeah, man.
Horrendous. Why did they do that?
In the last couple of weeks, there have been a number of new TV shows premiering.
Some would say a barrage.
A barrage of new TV shows. They're still trying to find a new Lost and all those things. I don't know how many of them you guys have seen.
Okay.
Seen a few.
Seen way too many.
Way too many. Let's start with the shortlist. So, Damien, which of the shows you've seen do you think have potential?
I don't really know. So Whitney Cummings, someone that isn't very funny in stand-up, has two shows on the air. She has Whitney, which is on NBC, and Two Broke Girls, which is on CBS. Whitney is not funny.
Yes, I sat through like 5 minutes out of that first episode and turned it off.
I just like to say that I watched Two Broke Girls for about, and the only reason I watched that show was because Kat Dennings is in
and
it.
That is the only reason anyone watched that show.
I watched it for about 1 minute and I couldn't take it anymore.
Alright. So, Two Broke Girls, I kind of enjoy. It's not very good. But some of the one-liners are funny. And I can see how they can actually continue the show like this, having this rich girl be broke as shit and having a broke girl be broke as shit. And I like Kat. All right, honestly, the reason I like is Kat Dennings.
Yes.
I enjoy watching her on screen, all right? I find her humor enjoyable. Good. Stop looking at me, Douglas. Whitney, the problem, the lead guy in Whitney is also a stand-up comic, and he is really not funny. The last Comedy Central special he did, was bad. Really bad. But the thing is, he outshines Whitney because he's actually doing some form of acting. And they've surrounded these two people with stereotypes, and it's not very funny. Two Broke Girls, I'll watch. I saw Terra Nova.
I heard about that. Nicholas loves it. But
wow, it's bad.
I mean, just, you know what? I won't watch that movie on principle, because just think about it, right? Here's the logic of this TV show. The logic of this show is that we have finally gotten rid of all of our natural resources on the Earth. Therefore, we will go back in time to live on an Earth with resources. Now, think about it this way, right? And I mean, when I can quote logic from a movie as bad as the remake of The Time Machine and blow this show out of the water, I don't understand how nobody thought to themselves, wait a minute. But so, if we go back in time and deplete the resources before we ever existed, to deplete the resources, how did we exist to go back in time? I'm just
Douglas,
drawing a blank there.
Douglas, what do you need to understand is when you time travel, you create a new time. They're inventing new dinosaurs, which is where I had to draw the line.
Oh, really?
There's a dinosaur with a knife as a tail.
Hold on one second.
That they call the slasher.
These people voluntarily went to the dinosaur age?
Yes.
The one age in which they're most likely to get their ass
to get murked. Yep. Yep. Look, logic isn't the reason that they went back. It's really bad. It's so stupid.
At least they were trying to hit like the 1930s and they ended up in dinosaur age.
No. They went back to where the planet had the most resources. Freaking dinosaurs. That's one resource.
Did they carry back some like laser shooting guns to beat the dinosaurs?
Of course they did.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
What question is that?
Alright, are they building like real buildings or stick huts?
Douglas, they're
just not sure.
Building real shit. It's like they're building the Jurassic Park place. It's alright, guys, it's stupid. And no one should watch it. I watched New Girl. Which you guys, I want you guys to attempt to like this show.
this is the true litmus test of how much you guys like Zoe Deschanel.
Alright, so can I tell you the thing about this show?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's how you know that I will sacrifice life and limb for this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the funny thing is, I actually watched this show right after I turned off Two Broke Girls, because I was like, fuck that shit, I'm going to watch something good. I'm going to watch something with Zooey Deschanel. And immediately, I knew that this was probably worse than Two Broke Girls.
It is.
But I still kept watching.
Mm-hmm.
I still kept watching just because it was Zooey. And I hated it. And even though I hated it, I tried hard to like it. Hard enough that I've actually watched the second episode all the way through, and when the third episode airs, I will be watching that again.
I think,
but I won't enjoy it. I won't. It will hurt me inside.
To let everyone know, Fox has ordered a full 26 episodes.
Why, Fox?
You have to shoot yourself.
Why? You gonna make me watch that many? No.
I think it's 26 episodes.
The thing I enjoy most about the New Girl is that she is probably the worst part of it.
She is. I don't understand. I mean, yes, okay, so you want to make her into like this weird person.
A manic pixie dream girl.
What the hell? Why is she singing all the time? It's not cute.
What you are saying now, that is how I see it. Most of her movies. And that is my reaction to most of her movies. But this one is so bad that she cannot hide behind anything. Oh my god, it's really bad. I also saw Ringo, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, okay.
I thought we started out wanting to start by talking about shows with potential.
I didn't like any of them.
All right. If Damien wants to stop, I have two shows that I absolutely love.
The ones that I saw. No, go ahead.
All right. So there are two shows on the air now that I've decided are great, and they're very new. And I actually like the fact that it's not all drama or whatever. One is a light comedy. And it stars Will Arnett.
Oh, Up All Night.
Yeah, Up All Night. Yeah, and Christina Applegate. That show is great. It's not anything you have to think about.
Show, though.
What?
I wasn't a huge fan of that show, though.
That's because
I watched
wrong.
The first episode only.
Get to the third episode and you'll be on board.
The show is wonderful.
All right, I'll give it a shot. Especially the drop of what the shows are.
Yes, and I love that...
Christina Applegate.
Not Christina Applegate.
So far.
Oh, she does. She does. But you know what's great about it? That one of my favorite actors from SNL is in that show. MacGruber, what's his real name?
I don't remember.
Will Forte.
Yeah, Forte.
Will Forte.
Yeah, he is. I love him. I'm so sad that I've stopped watching Conan because I know I've missed so many special moments with him acting as Ted Turner. And he's just a great comedian, and I should watch more Saturday Night Live, even though it's a horrible show, just for him.
It's pretty good.
But anyway, Up All Night is great, has great potential, not just potential, but a solid start to the season. Another one that started extremely solidly that I've watched is actually a remake. It's Prime solid. Suspect.
Extremely solid.
I have that to watch. People have been saying great things about that show, and I haven't watched it.
It's fantastic.
I heard it's like the closer, and immediately shut it down.
Apparently, it's the remake of the what's her name? Helen Mirren show.
Right. But the closer is essentially a remake of that.
Oh really?
And
okay.
This is essentially a remake of that. And the second I heard closer, I went.
So is closer not good then?
I don't like it.
I was just asking. I don't know. I've never watched that show.
It's not fun. It's not fun. I love Maria Bello, but
she's great in it.
The second I heard like the closer, I couldn't bring myself to.
And I love the way she acts in this, like her character, how her character is in this show. I mean, it's she's so hilarious. Like, so she is living with a guy who clearly had a son with some other chick. And is divorced from her and whatnot, and this ex-wife is crazy. Like, she will not let her son hang out with them because this lady's a cop and she has guns in the house and all sorts of foolishness. But she's very paranoid too about it, like about the safety of her child. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that Maria Bella hates her, and there'll be points where she's like, you know, at your house, you have those, like, sachet thing for windows, right? You know, there's this killer around. I'm working on a case. There's this child molester who, stole this baby. And are you sure your sachets are, like, secure? Because those are just made out of wood, right? And you see, for the rest of the conversation, the woman is freaking out. The woman is like, but how could I? And how could I make it more secure? She's like, well, you know, no, it's all right. You know, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. Serial killers kill people like you, right? You're making it sound better, but I heard closer.
No, this show is. It knocked me out of my socks the first time I saw it. It was just... It punched me in the face. It really did. It was great.
Well, it's not like I have a lot of options.
But, yeah, those are mainly the two new shows that I've watched. That plus, well, the other two, which are New Girls and... Or New Girl, sorry, and Two Broke Girls. So, yeah, that's about it for me.
All right, so I have three shows that you guys haven't talked
about. Oh, actually, yet. You know what? I've watched Fresh Meat, but that's kind of...
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know about it. It looks bad. I still want to watch a second episode to make sure. Yeah.
The reason, I don't know if you guys saw Sirens, 4-H.
I've seen it. Like, I haven't watched it, but I know that it exists.
So
is that any good?
It's really good.
Hold on, wait, Damien.
Yeah.
I believe there are two shows called Sirens. Are you talking about the comedy ambulance one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that looks. Right. I've seen the poster. And it looks funny.
It's really good. And so because 4HD did that as well, I went. I'll give.
Yeah, E4 is a good channel. I mean, they have Misfits. Misfits is great. Right.
And was not a fan. Fresh Meat. They got the awkwardness down. They just didn't get any other funny.
But you see, that's the thing about Britain, right? They love that dry sort of humor. Yeah. So it's so awkward and hard to watch.
Yeah, but it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
But I'll see. We'll give. I mean, I saw... I don't know if any of you guys saw Everwood, this old TV show. One of the stars, the main chick from that, I don't remember, Emily Van Camp, I think that's her name. She's in this new show called Revenge.
Yo, it's on CBS. I saw the poster. The poster looks lame. It looks like I'm really trying hard to sell this show.
That's a joke, though. No, I sat down to watch it with other family members, and by like halfway through it, everyone was on board. Everyone was like, "This is shit, right? I'm not the only you guys are seeing this, right? This is bad." Like, we're just all turning each other. This is terrible, right? Okay, we're all on the same page.
It's not just me.
Because everyone was sitting there in silence, right? But it's not really a comedy, so you don't know if it's because everyone was engaged in the drama. And I'm like, this is bad, right? And they're like, yeah, this is pretty bad. And we're like, okay, let's just make sure. Yeah, this TV season hasn't started out swimmingly. It's been... I think Upper All Night is the only one that I'm enjoying. All of the others,
I love that show.
just look bad. Right, you said there were some more that we didn't talk about, Andrew.
There are three shows that you guys haven't mentioned. I'm going to start with the bad ones, and then I'll move to the one that looks interesting. The really bad one, How to Be a Gentleman, starring Kevin Dillon.
I haven't watched that yet. But it's on my to-do list. Are you telling me to just not?
Don't watch it. It's
when
horrendous.
We're done, we need to have a conversation about Entourage. But that's
Okay.
I gave it a shot just because I'm like, this dude has no more Entourage. Let me see if he can do something other than Entourage. And guess what? He sucks. The show funny. Like, it looked like one of the shows that they would have made fun of the fact that he would have gotten that kind of a job in Entourage.
Okay.
I also watched the first episode of The Playboy Club, which I was kind of looking forward to because of how much I love Mad Men. But this is a show which is riding the coattails of Mad Men. They're like, look, people like 60s period TV shows where they talk about how they had these special jobs back then. Now they're talking about The Playboy Club. It's kind of boring. I'm going to watch the second episode just to firm up my stance, but I doubt it's going to change. And just like how Pan Am is another show that they've brought up, but I haven't watched yet, this show Playboy Club is making me feel that Pan Am is just going to be just as bad. But one show which I've seen, which I'm not going to say is great, but it looks like it could turn out interesting, and I think this is more for fans of Lost than anything else. It's not a Lost replacement, but it's a procedural show with a little bit of mysterious sign somewhere that they're not explaining, and it's called Person of Interest, and it actually has the guy who played Ben Linus.
Wait, sorry, not to say that I haven't been listening, but I haven't been listening. What are we talking about again?
This new show called Person of Interest.
Oh, I have seen that, and people have been saying good things. Is it really good? I'm thinking of watching it.
It looks like it can be interesting. I'm not going to say that it's great, but it looks like it has potential. So I'm going to keep watching for now. And I've only watched the first episode.
Okay. Well, I saw Pan Am, and my sisters like it. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like I said, I don't think it's fair for me to say I don't like it yet, because I have to live with these people. So until I have evidence to back up the fact that it's not very good, it's like Mad Men in the Sky, I guess. I'm not the biggest Mad Men fan. Do with that information what you will.
So I guess I'll hate it just as much as Playboy Club, okay?
No, I guess if people like Mad Men, they like this.
That's what I expected everyone to tell me about the Playboy Club, and then I watched the Playboy Club, and I'm like, really?
Did I say anything else? I don't think so.
You guys talked about everything else, basically. Like, New Girl, I'm struggling to watch, and like keep wanting to like it because of Zoe, but it's so bad, and yeah, mainly because of her.
miserably.
Ringer was horrendous. I sat through the whole episode just because of my love for Buffy, and I'm never going to watch anything from that ever again.
I didn't like Buffy.
Two Broke Girls, I actually got through the first episode and felt, you know, this might just work. This might just be that not that great show that I'll watch just because Kat Dennings is alright. Then I watched the second episode and that went through the window.
I guess we can just watch Terriers again this season.
and Chicago.
They're doing a new season of Terriers, right?
Before we go to Entourage, on the side, I don't think I've talked to you guys about this. I've recently been going through Sons of Anarchy, and I'm in the middle of season 3 now. And I don't know if either of you are watching this show, but it's actually a really good show if you're not.
I don't believe you.
People keep billing it as a remake of Hamlet, and I guess basically it is. You know, you have the father-son relationship there, but really it's just the dynamics of this biker gang, this outlaw vigilante situation in this small town America, and it's a good
biker
drama.
Boys, we run the streets. No,
you know that kind of organization where they try to balance money making illegally and doing good for the community, and at the same time they have all of their bad blood to deal with from episode. It's a good drama.
So it sounds like melodrama is what it sounds like.
I like
Is there an antagonist? What are they fighting against? The man? What? I don't understand.
The overall thing is that to deal with the Hamlet angle is that the young VP wants a change, and the change has to come with him usurping the president, who is his father-in-law.
Okay.
Right? And that is continually going throughout the show of him trying to find ways to usurp the president. And hopefully the end result will be him shooting the man in the head, who is Ron Perlman. And otherwise, the whole thing is just watching this crime organization work within this small-town America and trying to keep the big white America out of turn, so that they can change this small town into some big conglomerate where everyone has a Starbucks and stuff, and keep the place clean, and, you know, no drugs or hookers or shit like that. It sounds stupid now that I'm saying it out loud,
but yes,
it's actually a really good show.
Okay. I'm willing to accept that. Alright. So, I need to know that you guys are in agreement that Entourage is a terrible TV show.
Fuck you.
And this last season proved definitive. It was always a terrible TV show. What the hell happened in that last season? Finish watching.
Can I tell you? First, I want to say that this season was probably the same thing as any other season, but the highlight of it for me was Ari Gold.
No, that is the reason I watch it.
But I don't want to say he was a highlight for a completely different reason this season. It wasn't that he was over the top and he was like, yo, hug it out, bitch, fuck you, you're a cunt kind of shit. It was his ability to become this new, vulnerable, sad, and just almost hopeless person. And that was, I think, the spotlight, the best part of the season for me. And the rest was really just the rest. It was what Entourage has become known for, and the reason that I like Entourage so much. It's not... Yes, you'll probably say the same thing over and over again, but I'm fine with that because I like that same thing. I'm good with that.
Look, Douglas, we all agree that Entourage isn't the best thing on television.
Yeah,
that
fair.
That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it is like it was two seconds away from being one of the worst things on television.
I don't agree with that. I enjoyed that season.
The last episode alone, right, where this girl just ups and marries what is
that name. Don't make no sense.
Right? I mean, even for Entourage, that didn't make any sense. Literally, the only thing that kept me watching this, because I was going to stop from really early, from like episode 2, is the fact that Ari was still in problems, and I wanted to see how they would resolve the Ari situation.
Yeah.
And that is the only thing that made any amount of sense or was any kind of enjoyable. The rest of it was just bad.
So you're saying you had no fun watching Andrew Dice Clay?
None whatsoever.
I used to love that guy so much.
Well, you are young and stupid. It's...
Personally, I have to say...
I'm just glad that it's over, because I will never watch Entourage again. I'm hoping that they have an Ari spin-off. I don't know what it will be about, but I'd watch that. But the problem is... he did that movie, The Goods Live Hard or Sell, or whatever. Whoa. And that was essentially the Ari. He was Ari in that movie, not to the same extent. And that movie wasn't very good. But I'm hoping if they do it in a TV show way, it'd be fun. But I'm glad I'm never going to see Entourage again. Because by the last episode, I was just looking. I was looking at myself and going, you're stupid for doing this. Because it's bad. Entourage is terrible, guys. It is just bad.
Talking about TV, Dexter comes back tonight.
Oh, is it tonight?
Yay!
Mm.
Yep.
When does Breaking Bad end?
2 more episodes.
Alright, so I should start watching it now.
Apparently, I'm sure all of you guys know this, but Nicholas just told me, and because I no longer follow much, read much internet anymore, because I got a job that really is quite a job. I didn't know this. Apparently, they're saying next season is officially the last season.
Yeah.
That makes me cry.
Why?
Because...
You'll get some sort of closure. They'll write an ending.
I know, but I like the show. And when I like something, I generally don't want it to stop. And I hear you. I understand.
Shows.
I do.
And none of them are Doctor Who.
It's still...
Isn't a new season of Luther supposed to start soon?
Fuck you.
That's not funny.
That's not funny.
that's not funny.
I got 3 6 episodes, 4 episodes, or some
ten,
bullshit like
ten
that.
In total.
4 episodes for season 2, Andrew. What the hell? Oh my goodness. I actually was just...
Four awesome
oh,
episodes.
They were. I was just watching Luther today, actually, again.
I love Alice.
To introduce this new segment, this new kind of game moment, I'm now away from you guys, and basically this is a testing of your film knowledge. I'm going to procure 3 random film clips. They'll be 30 seconds or less each,
and you guys will guess as to which film it came from. So this is how it's going to go. To give you an example, I'm going to play a clip. You guys should know what this is anyways.
No. He's looking at you, kid.
Once the clip has finished playing, you're going to say your name.
Is that Transformers?
I'm pretty sure that's Transformers 2.
No, it's Transformers, the first one. Yeah, remember when
Optimus Prime was looking at What's-Her-Name's ass and said, "Here's looking at you, kid."
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Sometimes you guys are getting in the spirit.
He's got a red ass.
So once again, wait for the entire clip to play.
Okay.
Then say your name to buzz in, and
can I just say ding?
But I won't know it's you.
Well, okay, if I say ding and Damon says dong, then we're good to go, right?
I want to say ding. I will not say dong.
I refuse. I'll do the dinging on this one.
And Douglas will do the dogging.
Damn right.
Okay, I guess ding and dong is how it's going to work. I'll try and remember which is which.
No, what's funny is the fact that we're arguing over it, so we're probably just both going to say ding.
And the point system is simple. If you get it right, that's 5 points. If you get it wrong, that's -3.
How is that simple?
Not that you care who wins the game. Here's the first clip.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Douglas?
That's the
That was Billy Madison.
You are correct. Wow, I didn't think anyone would get that.
I love that movie, Andrew. How can I not get that?
I award you no point.
Okay, so Douglas is the lead, and here's clip number 2.
Isn't there a big if in there somewhere?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. If you're smart, if you keep your trap shut and don't nose around anymore, you'll have money. You'll be loaded with a capital L, but if you don't, there'll be nothing. We'll forget the whole thing. Nothing will happen and you won't have a penny.
I wouldn't like that. Frail as I am, I'd much prefer to be loaded.
I think we understand each other.
Anyone?
I think I know the movie, but I'm not sure.
Say it, because I have no clue.
It's probably, let's just go with the searchers. It's wrong.
That is incorrect, my sir.
See?
No shit.
That was The Killing, Stanley Kubrick's The Killing with Sterling Hayden.
Yeah. Alright.
Alright, so hold on. Does that mean I now get -3 points, or because I didn't answer, it's just whatever?
No. Damien got it wrong, so he gets -3.
Oh, but because I didn't answer, I'm cool.
You're cool.
Alright, good. Good to go.
So, this one counts for 8 points right now, just because I want Damien to have a chance.
Wow. That is defeating the purpose of your scoring system, son.
And here's the last clip.
Dead air on the podcast. No one answers.
So, when do I get my share of the money?
Well, how much do you want?
$200.
Okay. Deal.
Could I have had more?
You'll never know.
I know what it is. Since
I barely heard any of that except music in the background and more. Let's just go with Annie. Please, sir. Can I have some more?
Incorrect. Douglas, no, do you have a tick for that?
If I say no, will you give me negative 10 points?
You win anyway, yeah, so just stick again.
Alright, you see, I know it's not. The only... It reminds me of...
I heard music in the background.
Yeah, no, it's clearly like a movie from the 60s. But that conversation was the same sort of conversation that they had in the Milkshake movie. Blood.
There will be blood?
There will be blood. Yeah, when the twin brother was okay. coming at him and being like, you know, I will give you this place with oil. Could I have gotten more money? I don't know what this movie is. I would say let's just go with... I'm just going to say an old movie, and I know it's wrong. Some like it hot.
That is incorrect, sir. Oh, this was actually from Road to Perdition.
Really?
With Tom Hanks. There is a scene which I so much where after they started robbing banks, the son, they're sitting at a diner, and they're eating, and the son looks at him and says, where's my money? He's like, how much do you want?
I know that scene. He's right.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
I don't remember that music being played. All I heard was, well, most part was in the background. I heard the music. And then I heard someone ask for more, which sounded like a feminine voice.
Yeah, and I thought it was a girl.
And then I heard, I guess you'll never know. So yeah. It didn't sound like a boy's voice. I blame Skype for that. So let's say Douglas wins, yeah, because he actually got
Douglas
one
wins.
Right. Alright.
Oh, wow.
The first trailer I want to talk about is this new film, this new genre release, so we can already say it stars Mark Wahlberg, and it has something to do with smuggling money over boats and stuff. Contraband.
I was hoping you understand it's family, maybe we could work something out.
I'll give you 2 weeks. If not, I'm gonna come after the both of you. I'll come asking your wife for it, your kid.
You think you're the only guy with a gun? Have you ever mentioned my wife and my kids again?
No, done.
You know what's gonna happen if you don't pay? You know the rules, right?
I gotta try to fix this. Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
So what are we running?
I'm gonna start with Damien because he will spew the most venom. What did you think of this movie, trailer?
It looks mediocre. I'm pretty sure I've seen this movie already. And there's a point where these guys are going to rob somewhere and use tape, duct tape to disguise them, to wrap their faces, which if you can afford the guns, rent a van, and get a crew together, you can afford a mask. I don't care how off the cuff this plan that you're putting in effect is, if you steal shit for a living, you probably own a mask. And if that is indicative of what is going to take place in this movie, that kind of logic, I probably don't want to watch this movie. I do like Mark Wahlberg, though. He's come in a lot of movies recently that I've enjoyed. He was in... Douglas is looking at me. As if to say, as horseshit, Damien. He was in The Other Guys, which I enjoyed. He was in
so much.
What was the other movie that he was in recently? That
the
I
Fighter.
Right, The Fighter.
Overrated. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie, right, but that was so mediocre.
And he's in one of my favorite movies of all time, The Big Hit.
No, well, come on, you know.
He's freaking fantastic. And so, I guess I'll watch it, but he's the only one they're selling this movie on. And if there was like...
There's BC, and he's generally good. I like him.
Yeah, but he won't be the major part of this movie, I'm guessing. So, even though he's in it, he's... I don't think... there's not enough for me to really want to watch a movie, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to watch a movie. It does look mediocre, though.
Is it weird that when I was watching this trailer, I found it, I think the purpose they put it in, because of Mark Wahlberg, they put in this one-line gag where they're like, I guess they're talking about the money they're about to smuggle across whatever, and they're like, it's as big as a Mini Cooper. Are they purposely making a joke at the Italian job?
I actually thought that too.
I hope not.
But can I tell you, you spoke to, you talked about Giovanni Ribisi, and actually for me too, that's probably the only good feature of this trailer. I love Giovanni Ribisi. I think he's great. But I also want to say that I've seen this movie before. Or is this perhaps a sequel to Gone in 60 Seconds? I'm just asking. I mean, Ribisi is in that movie as well, so it would make sense, you know?
You idiot.
Yeah?
He survived in the end, so...
Yeah, I mean, but clearly, right?
But so, Ridiculous Cage is not in this movie.
Yeah, but this movie is... Mark Wahlberg has finally gotten out of the game. He's made his life better, and now his... Not brother, but his little cousin or his step whatever is in trouble and he has to go back to the life. I think I've seen that before. I think.
But it's not. Ribisi isn't his brother, you know that, right?
Yes, what? Yes, we're aware of this. then they threaten his family and he.
Yeah, listen, this movie looks stupid. I don't want to watch this movie. I don't agree with Damien's so called. I don't understand what movies he watched, and even though he has told me which movies he watched, I still don't understand, because one of them is alright. No, you never said The Departed, and I was waiting for it, and I was wondering why it never came out, but that was a long time ago, my friend. But no, that was a good movie. That was a great movie, and he was in it. But other than that, in the last, say, 10 years, there have been The Other Guys. You know, was alright, and I'm pretty sure it would grow on me, but right now I'm still at the alright phase. And The Fighter, which was horribly overrated and extremely mediocre, and if you take away Christian Bale, it's nothing. So really and truly, what is this guy worth? And the answer is just that: nothing. I don't want to watch Mark Wahlberg. The only good thing...
Didn't you like Hitman?
I actually have not watched that movie. No, Hitman isn't Mark Wahlberg. You're talking about Max Payne. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, I haven't watched that movie. I did watch Hitman, and I actually did kind of enjoy that movie. Tim Oliphant was kind of cool.
He's Oliphant. He's unfair.
Let's just stop talking about
this. One of these people were in the big hit. Timothy Oliphant was not. It looks. So I guess it looks bad. Andrew, what do you think of this fine trailer?
It looks mediocre.
Ah.
It looks like it can be one of those movies where you're like, kind of like what I thought of the remake of The Italian Job. I'm like, you have enough fun with the whole heist, or in this case, the smuggle of whatever they're doing, of how they've screwed Giovanni Ribisi and turned ridiculously rich, I'm assuming, at the end of the movie. That it'll throw over how stupid and mediocre everything else is, especially the acting. But that's the best I can hope. And worse, honestly, it's a January release, and we all know how January movies turn out. They tend to be really, really bad.
Disco Santa. That was in January. Yep.
That was also bad. That scene was good. That scene was good. That movie
scene
was bad.
Elevates that movie past bad. Someone said Disco Santo. Alright. Awesome. What's the next trailer?
So, the next trailer I want to talk about is the new Red Band trailer that just came out for the film I Melt With You, which is apparently a film that played at Sundance and also lots of festivals. It has Jeremy Piven, Tom Jane, Rob Lowe, and what's his last name? Christian McKay. All four friends who are getting together to hang out. They do it once every year. They get together on some anniversary, and apparently there's something to do with something they wrote down and agreed to years ago, but we don't know exactly what it is.
Timothy,
This, my friend, is your friend Richard. You will be celebrating your birthday on this holiday.
Bye. Love you guys.
Bye. Bye.
We all went to college together.
We meet every year. It's good to catch up.
A band of brothers!
Yeah! The doctor is in!
Will we ever remember this moment? Will we ever have friends like this?
Will we ever feel this way again?
We all said a lot of things when we were young.
What do you think of this trailer, Douglas?
Why me?
First, because I particularly think you might like the song that plays in this trailer.
Listen, this trailer was so bad, I wasn't even thinking about what song was playing.
Who actually plays this song?
I thought you were able to see his disgust through Skype.
Listen, I have to watch the trailer now again just to see what song, if I know who this is, because Andrew, the trailer itself,
you stupid man.
The trailer itself detracted from that, because this movie, I mean, it started off great with Tom Jane doing some crazy donuts with a Porsche. And I like him. I really have learned to like this guy. Hung is amazing. Give Him Hell Malone was fantastic. The Punisher was actually not horrible.
Oh, I'm not giving you that.
That movie was bad still.
Thank you.
But you seem to think it was good. I was just going with you. No, The Punisher, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Oh, shit.
I remember thinking it was awesome that the crazy guy from Ocean's 13 was in that, or Ocean's whatever. But anyway, this guy, Tom Jane, he's kind of cool, and for you to start off with Tom Jane, and then introduce Ari Gold, and then for you to fail at nabbing me as a potential viewer of your film.
I think that's Rob Lowe's fault.
Well, I'll tell you this, Rob Lowe did not help.
Has he ever? Is there a movie that
this movie
in?
Looks kind of stupid. I mean, to tell you the truth, it looks like it could be good, but I don't think they're selling it right. It's just, this trailer looks bad.
Where did it look like it could be good, Douglas?
It looks like it could be good from the point of view that this is clearly a movie where it's a bunch of guys locked up together, and so it could play on, you know, some sort of good vibe, and I don't know.
It won't be Hangover. Yeah. That's not what they're aiming for. They're aiming for some kind of drama.
Yeah.
I saw people being all dramatic like towards the end of that trailer.
Yeah.
And it didn't look good, Douglas. It didn't look good.
Carla Gugino is in this movie, apparently, though. I don't know why, but I've always kind of watched out for movies with her in it ever since Sin City. Anyway, on to the next.
A lot of movies turn out to be good.
What's that?
Not a lot of her movies turn out to be good.
That is true. Did you know that she was in a Pauly Shore movie?
Which one?
Hasn't everybody been in a
Pauly Shore movie at some point? The one where he goes to college. And then she's like his roommate, and they get married, and then she takes him back home to her respectable parents, and he's Pauly Shore.
You know an awful lot about Pauly Shore movies.
I know there's one in the army, and there's one in a dome. I don't remember any of those.
I can't explain it. Okay. I plead the fifth. Alright.
Right. This trailer looks like it's in debate, but in the wrong way completely. Like a month ago, the last time we recorded for an episode, when we talked about Meek's Cutoff, we talked about the trailer for the new Polanski film coming up, Carnage, which is about four people in a room tearing their hair out, and I love that trailer.
I'm sure you do.
Well, it's fantastic. This trailer, on the other hand, looks like it's going to be four people in a room crying for 90 minutes. And it could totally work, but I doubt it. And I guess it helps that I've read a lot of negative reviews about it out of the festivals.
Oh, you have? Good. Yes. I don't have to watch it then. Because I was going to watch it. Because those damn names they call to me.
You just want Tom Jane, don't you?
And Jeremy Piven, thank you very much. I'm pretty sure of any movie I've seen him in, I've watched.
He's alive in this movie.
Lord! I love that he takes that shit so well.
So good.
You know what was so funny? I thought it was ridiculously funny. In one of the last episodes of Entourage, Ari's new assistant said that Lloyd scares him, and I don't know how. I really don't. But I thought that was some funny ass shit.
I was impressed. Why did you talk to Lloyd? He scares me. Oh, so good.
How can Lloyd scare anyone?
I know.
He said if he wants to see me.
I'm proud of you, Tommy. What you did for that kid in the tank.
What was I supposed to do, let him drown?
Tommy Reardon, you saved my life.
Look, Brendan, the bank has got to go by the new appraisal figures. You're upside down on your mortgage.
How much do you need?
I didn't come here for long, Frank. I was hoping that you would train me.
Are you serious?
Do it!
I thought we agreed that we weren't going to raise our children in a family.
So I guess we can move into the review this week of Warrior, new film starring Tom Hardy, Nick Nolte, and Joel Edgerton.
Okay, and so Damien, what do you think?
I think CAR should be shut down for good.
Why is this? Pray tell.
Because I went to watch said movie on Saturday, yesterday, and on their website it says clearly that it will be shown at 5:15 and again at 8:30. I went to the theater and they informed me that we're not showing it at 5. Why isn't it being shown at 5? We're just not showing it at 5. So I've not seen the movie. So thanks, Gary.
Okay.
What do you guys have? So tell me, is it good?
So I watched this movie. And yeah, I guess essentially because as a person that made us watch this movie, I should start off. This film, it is about a family, a messed up family. A family of wrestlers. The father is, well, I can only assume that he was a wrestler turned a coach, but you don't really know that. He is a coach, a wrestling coach, and he has what they call unorthodox methods, which really translates to being a drunkard and an asshole to not only regular people that he trains, but also his children that he, well, he trained one child and refused to train another child. And, you know, that kind of has all the bad things that go along with it. And the children, there is, I think, Danny is Tom Hardy. Correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew.
Tommy is Tom Hardy and Brendan is Joel Edgerton.
Alright, cool. So Tommy, well, Tommy left his father with his mother when he was young, and then went to be in the army, or actually the Marines. And Brendan stayed with his dad and made a life for himself in, I think, Philadelphia with his girlfriend, who then became his wife and had some daughters and became a teacher. But of course, Brendan is down on his luck and he finds out about this great wrestling match that can, you know, give him a whole heap of money. And Tommy is, I guess, kind of the same, except that he has his own reason, his own unselfish reason for needing the money and wanting to give it to somebody else. And that's kind of where this movie jumps off and then goes into this great fighting action movie. And I just want to lay it out, I just want to say it from now, that by the time I finished watching this movie, I knew that it was hands down the best movie I've seen this year, and more than likely it will be very hard for something to take it out of that spot. Tom Hardy, well, the whole cast, including somehow Nick Nolte, managed to give great performances. I think what the director did with this film was fantastic, because he put in two very stark, very different elements and molded or melded them together perfectly. The first half of this movie is a straight-up drama. It delves deep, but not too deep that we still don't have questions, into the relationship between everybody in the family, into what happened to essentially break the family apart, and into the fractured relationships that now exist, and how bitter and angry everybody is, no matter how hard they try to cover it up. And I think the director and the actors did that perfectly. Then you transition, and the transition was done beautifully, into a wrestling movie where all it is you watching people beat the shit out of each other, and you get really excited, and it looks so real, it looks good, it's fantastic. And not only that, but it's an underdog story as well, so these are really pulling all the strings that need to get pulled, and it does it perfectly. I think Tom Hardy shows us why, once again, he's probably one of the best actors around. And he is beefed up for this movie, by the way. I can just imagine what he looks like as Bane now, after he put on all that weight, and maybe he's probably put on some more for that, I don't know. But he looks so different from what he has been before. I mean, he even had a little, or at least he looked like he had a little pot belly in
Inception.
Yeah, in Inception. And for him to go from that to this is... he looks disgusting. He looks like he ate a slab of uncooked pork every morning before he went to like the gym for the rest of the day.
Just be honest, Douglas. You're afraid he's going to lift up your house and just walk away with
it. Am. I really am. But Andrew, on every single front, this movie is perfect. And I just love it. There's nothing more for me to say about this movie.
Thanks again, Kerb.
I saw this movie a month ago. And when Douglas picked this movie a few days ago, I immediately looked to see if it was still at the theaters here for me to go and watch it again. Unfortunately, it wasn't. So I have to go off of what I remember from a month ago and rereading my review that I wrote for this film. I agree with almost everything you say, Douglas, except the perfect section. Because this movie is exactly what you know it to be. If you watch a trailer and you've seen dozens of sports underdog movies, it's that movie. They're all going to get there. And they even have it in the trailer where you see that Edgerton and Tom Hardy end up in the final facing off against each other. And therein lies the only problem I have with this movie, is that it is somewhat typical in the storyline, in that it's the underdog story. He has to win. And then we've gotten to that point where you're at the final, and
just turn him
you
off.
Almost...
Sorry, continue. I was just asking if I could turn you off, because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Speaking nonsense.
At that point, when you're at the final, you almost... you're not sure who you want to win. And that's one thing the movie does well. But well, where this movie, I feel, has some issues has to do with the genre itself. It starts out with them in training. Eventually, you get a montage scene where, honestly, I felt like I wanted Eye of the Tiger to start playing. And then, of course, when you get to the brutal action, and Douglas keeps calling it wrestling. This isn't wrestling. This is...
This MMA.
Is something Man. Else. This is brawling. Because in wrestling, you at least feel like there are some rules somewhere, some written rules somewhere.
Well, you know, they tap each other on the back to make them know that they're
that's,
done.
That's probably the only rule. They're like, okay, I've had enough. Other than that, you can do anything you want in this match.
Kill me and we're good.
Like, I was rereading my review and I started out by comparing this with Airborne. Not because of how bad the movie is, but because of how much it talks about popular culture today. When Airborne came out in the 90s, it was an advertisement for extreme sports. Damien can argue with...
No, it wasn't.
This movie is going to prove as an advertisement for MMA. And it's only because within the last 5 to 10 years, MMA has become this pop culture thing. You know, it started out as an underground story of this Brazilian person brought it to America and it became a thing. It would be dealt with in people's backyards and now it's gotten TV sponsorship and you see it on ESPN all
has
the way.
Has MMA been on Showtime for like 5 years?
Look, I liked MMA before it got all popular. When it was still indie.
And that's what this, and that's what I feel like part of this movie is. It's a pop culture icon, and we, and 15 years from now, we're going to look on the MMA aspect of this movie the same way we look on the extreme sports and rollerblading and stuff in Airborne. It's going to be just like that. But throwing all of that quibbles away, Tom Hardy is fantastic. Joel Edgerton is fantastic. Nick Nolte is fantastic. I love how there are certain family dynamics that they don't always have to say out loud. Like, for example, in the movie, when it opens, when the movie begins, it begins with Tom Hardy just appearing out of nowhere, and then you get into the thick of the family dynamic with Tom Hardy and Nick Nolte having a conversation, which is mostly Tom Hardy telling Nick Nolte to shut the fuck up, I want a bed, and I'll figure out what the hell I'm doing tomorrow. But it makes the movie continually interesting because you want to find out more and more as to how, what is it that happened between this father and son that made it get to this point. And the movie slowly and surely brings that out. And that's the aspect of the movie that I find most interesting. The sports side, which is actually a genre I love to death, the underdog story, it just felt so used, and I guess the trailer ruined it all. And I guess it even made it worse, the fact that when I went to see the movie in the theater, they played the trailer for the movie before the movie. So it's like, guys, in case you don't know what movie you're watching, I'm about to spoil everything for you right now. But otherwise, the movie's really good. And just like 50-50, I have to say it's good, but not great, and definitely not in my top 10. If this movie is in my top 10 at the end of the year, I say shame to you, 2011.
Andrew, you know, you just said fighting words right there, right? This movie is not even in your top 10. Andrew, this movie is not even in my top 5. This movie is number 1. I mean,
no, Douglas, if I was to draw up a top 10 list at this very moment, this movie is probably making it in, like at the bottom of the list or something. But it's the kind of movie that I want other movies to beat out, is what I'm saying.
You know, I just wish that Damien had watched this movie so that even if he was on your side, at least
there'd be someone to punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Hurrah for being in Trinidad. Can't be punched.
Time needs to work out our way to have things being hurled. Transmitted through the internet.
I love how when we get finally to the tournament towards the end, second half of the movie, that, and this isn't a major spoiler since you already know that he ends up in the final. He wins his matches going towards, but he'll walk into the ring, he'll throw one fist and walk out.
Yes, that's fantastic. Yeah.
I also like that difference in style between Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton, because as I said, Tom Hardy is very much the aggressor. He is the guy who comes in the ring, has the one punch knockout and leaves. Joel Edgerton is a complete opposite. He's the kind of guy who allows you to try and control the ring, and slowly but surely he subdues you and makes you give up in the fight. And the fact that you put those two together against each other, it makes for an interesting battle, especially towards the end of that battle. I'm not going to spoil it, especially since Damien hasn't seen the movie, but it's an interesting fight, and especially what it does to the brother dynamic. Good, okay. But not great.
Fuck you. You're an asshole.
Okay. Go watch a better movie. Didn't we watch Meeks Cut Off? How is this not? How is this movie number one?
No, this is better than Meeks Cut Off. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Actually, I wasn't even thinking of Meeks Cut Off, but it beats it. Yeah.
Well, I guess there's not much else we can really say about this. Douglas loves it and is going to probably champion it for the rest of the year. I'll forget about it in a year, I'm sure. And Damien will catch up with it and we'll hear what he has to say.
I would if they don't have another 5 o'clock showing.
So I guess thanks for listening. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. You can find it at gmanreviews.com. Douglas is on Twitter. He's DJ I Lost His Name. Damien, still not on any social media. He's on Google+. Damien White, right?
Yep.
I'm on Twitter at Man Reviews. We play live now. Can we say Sunday at 5 officially?
For the moment, I think we're going to have to change times soon because of some Sunday commitments for me. But I don't know exactly what we're going to do because you have to watch 2 movies a day on Saturday. So there's that.
Pay attention to my Twitter and we'll see how the live showings go. Thanks for listening and good night.